with that, we go into night number two of the Giving Tree. If you were here last week or you were here Sunday in our repetitive nature, everybody's going to know this book by the time we finish stewardship, and it's going to make my heart happy. Last week, we looked at how the tree loved the boy and the boy loved the tree, and how the tree gave the boy all of its apples when the boy needed it most. And so now the boy has taken those apples away to try to provide for himself. And it says, but the boy stayed away for a long time, and the tree was sad. And then one day the boy came back, and the tree shook with joy. And she said, come, boy, climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and be happy. I'm too busy to climb trees, said the boy. I want a house to keep me warm, he said. I want a wife and I want children, and so I need a house. Can you give me a house? I have no house, said the tree. The forest is my house, but you may cut off my branches and build a house. Then you will be happy. And so the boy cut off her branches and carried them away to build his house, and the tree was happy. As we look for what metaphorically the branches mean in our life as we walk as Christians, instead of opening up the Bible and reading more stories to you, as I seem to do quite often, I found this scene from Son of God that depicts our story for tonight. And so let us go into the Word of God this evening. Here we have a classic story in the Bible, don't we? Coming out of the second chapter of Mark. Jesus that's doing his thing, coming into the town and teaching and bringing the Word of God and kind of turning things on its head. And here it's crowded there, and this man needs healing. And so what do his friends do? But they go to the desperate act of getting him to Jesus. My favorite in there, it talks about the rubble coming down from the roof before the man comes down and finds himself at Jesus' feet with the ability to be healed. I was sitting on this scripture and watching this film and thinking, man, how many times have I been that man? How many times have I so desperately needed somebody to carry me and put me at the feet of Jesus? Maybe it's just me, but I've been there. I've been there in those places of needing healing, most of the time from the inside out. I thought about one of those times in particular. I think it's the time that comes up most because it was the first that I can remember about somebody doing this for me. I was in my freshman year of college at Westmont, and my time at Westmont, though, it was great in so many ways. A great college experience being at this small Christian school, but in so many ways, I struggled. Like I said, introvert me, struggles making friends, and here I am dropped onto a campus where I don't know anybody, and I struggled. I struggled, and I had a lot of time that I spent homesick, a lot of times that I just wanted to be free of where I was. I wanted to be free to be in my place of comfort, free to have my vehicle that I could leave at any time and not be trapped there. And most of all, I wanted to be free of the place of depression that I spent so much time in. Those times when other people were out and having fun and I just didn't find that group to go spend Friday night with and would find myself alone in my dorm room, I could get pretty depressed and wondering if I was going to make it, if I was going to survive, if I was going to be able to cut it in college on the social side more than the academic side. And I remember one night in particular, I could hear students everywhere running around having a good time. It was one of those kinds of evenings. And I had taken my desk chair from my dorm and I had taken it out to the porch of my dorm building. And here I was leaning back on two legs like the teachers tell you you're not allowed to, feet up, and just in my head, trying to figure out how I was gonna make it through the weekend, how I was gonna make it through the next week. Did I really need to be here or could I just run away and head back home? That's the kind of place I was in. and my resident advisor happened to come walking up, Julie. I really like Julie. She was just this fun-spirited bundle of energy with way too many units and way too many jobs and didn't ever sleep and just seemed to run on Julie power. And here she came walking up and she found me and started up conversation with me. And I figured I'd expect where that pitiful conversation would come and she would have pity on me and she'd tell me to buck it up and things would be okay, but she kind of blindsided me in where she went. Because Julie saw that I was struggling so much and she knew how I struggled because we'd been having conversations and she didn't offer words of advice. She didn't offer any meaningless sayings to me or any of that. But she just looked me in the eye and she said, "Stacy, I want to pray for you." And I'll tell you, at 19 years old, that was the first time I could ever think that somebody had offered to pray for me that wasn't in a group setting. And here it was, and what did she do for me in that moment? But she saw me absolutely broken and in need of healing. And in that time of offering to pray for me, and in the beautiful words of that prayer that just struck me to the heart, what she did is she picked me up and she put me right at the feet of Jesus so I could look him in the eye and see that he was there with me. And then no matter how much I did academically, no matter how things were going, it gave me the sense that he was going to be there no matter what. She did just like those friends. She broke down the rubble of the roof, and she put me at Jesus' feet. And I know the other times in my life where that's happened, where things have been going this way or that way or not the way I've wanted it or I've struggled, whether it's with my health or with ministry or with social life or anything else, and somehow God has sent those people to me that have picked me up just when I've needed it and put me right at Jesus' feet to look him in the eyes so that he could touch me and heal me in what was going on. I wonder if you have those kind of people in your life. Do you have those kinds of people that when you need it, they're the people that aren't going to have the empty words, aren't going to have the buck up, it's going to be okay. But the ones that say, "I see you need it. Let me take you to the feet of Jesus." If your faith right now is faltering, if you're not sure, if you're doubting, let my faith carry you where you need to be. But you know, I look at that scene and I see, man, it was awfully crowded in that house. It's no wonder that guy couldn't get to Jesus. Even if he was able to walk, that crowd wasn't going to let him through. That's why they had to go up to the roof, right? Because it was just too crowded in that place. And so here they go up to the roof and make the rubble to bring him down. And it's like, okay, Pastor Stacy, I get it. It was too crowded in that place, but obviously there's plenty of room in here, even in our busiest of services, for people to come in and be able to find Jesus. But I see all sorts of empty seats, but the question is, where's Jesus in all these empty seats? Because I think about what it would be like to walk in those doors. I've thought about what it's been like when I've walked in those doors. When I was in Atlanta, Georgia, I walked into a lot of church doors. I worked into a lot of church doors looking for Jesus. Going through seminary, I mean like the theological boot camp. Let's break down your theology and rebuild it and just beat you up in the process. And so here I went into church after church trying to find a community. And church after church with lots of empty seats that I would go into, but just lots of empty seats and all that seemed to be. And I didn't need an empty seat. I didn't need to find a place that had room because let me tell you, every church on every corner has an empty seat that I could sit in. But then I wandered into doors of this little tiny church called Cokesbury Road. I mean, it was a little tiny church. And I went to this little tiny church after I'd spent like 4 weeks at P Peachtree Road United Methodist Church, 14,000 member Peachtree United Methodist Church. I mean, it was high church, packed to the gill, you name it, pinnacle of United Methodist deep down into the South. All the pomp and circumstance, everything that could impress you about a church worship service. But all I found were empty seats there. And then I went to Cokesbury Road. There were maybe 40 people in worship. There were lots of empty seats. And here I sat thinking that I was just going to sit in another empty seat. And I was going to go through another worship service, but it wasn't going to feed me and bring me to Jesus as I needed it to. Until it got to the passing of the peace time. And people looked me in the eyes and they shook my hand and they said, "Oh, we are so glad that you're here. What is it that brings you here this morning?" And they listened to me and they asked questions and the service ended and more people came up to me and welcomed me and asked me questions. "Well, what do you have going on this week?" "Oh, you got tests this week. What subjects are they in?" "You're going to Candler. That's awesome. You're going to Candler. You're going to be a pastor." I came back the next week. I thought, you know what, the apple cider during the refreshment time in the choir room, it was pretty good, I'll come back. So I came back the next week, and guess what? Those same people that shook my hand and looked me in the eyes came back to me and shook me in the hands with their eyes. "Hey, we're so glad you came back. How was your test this week? How'd things go with this or that? We're so excited that you're back this week." And you know what? I wasn't an empty seat filler at Cokesbury Road. I was somebody that was welcomed into the community, somebody that was welcomed to the feet of Jesus, because how open arms brought me in and wanted me to be there, not because I was another number in the book, but they wanted me there because they saw that I could fit. They saw that I was one of them. They saw that I could use a support system. And so I wonder where our branches are, because that's what it is in this book. What are branches? Branches are that which supports the fruit. And last week we saw the fruit are the gifts and the graces and the talents that are within us. But if those fruit don't have the branches, they're just fallen and rotting on the ground, aren't they? But what do we need? But we need those branches that support us, that connect us into the community. It's those Julies in our lives. It's those members of that church that wholeheartedly care about us, that want to welcome us with a hug, that want to pray for us, that want to make sure we know where the apple cider in the choir room is. It's those people that see when we're down and desire to lift us up. It's those people that go out of their way to make sure that when we need it and we can't get there, that they put us at the feet of Jesus so that we can look our Savior in the eye and see how deeply he cares for us. Because when we're hurting, when we're in need of healing, when we're in need of our sins to be forgiven, when our humanity has gotten the best of us, those intercessors, those branches, those people that care about us, that bring us to our Savior, is what supports us and centers us and can bring us back to the wholeness that we need to be. Because you see, God didn't create us to be an island. God didn't create us to be alone, but God created us to be this beautiful community that supports one another, holds on to one another, is there for one another, and carries one another when we can't walk ourselves. This is who we're called to be. Not somebody that fills an empty seat. Not somebody that fills a quota or is another tally mark. But a child of God, loved and welcomed and brought into wholeness through the work of our Savior. My friends, will you pray? pray with me. God, we give you thanks because you know the place that we need to be is at the feet of your Son. The ability to look him in the eye, to see how much he loves us and how much he cares for us, to be able to feel his healing touch upon us. But we know we can't always get there ourselves. Sometimes we get lost. Sometimes we get hurt in such a way that it paralyzes us into the place that we are. Sometimes our hearts are just overwhelmed that they can't see him. But here you go blessing us. Here you go bringing those people into our lives that lift us up and carry us when we can't walk. Those who pray for us, those who encourage us, those who refuse to leave us behind. Those who refuse to allow us to feel less than we should. For those who support us, for those who love us, for those who carry us, we give you our most heartfelt thanks because we know that they are a gift from you. We pray for all of those branches that are about to go on our board. We pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to dwell in them, to continue to give them the words that they need to continue to be the encouragers, that your Holy Spirit will continue to pour out of their pores with love and compassion and patience and goodness, that they will do what they do to be able to hold us all together so that we can be stronger and more faithful because of who they are. For all of this, Lord, we give thanks in your most mighty name. Amen.